Daf Samech Ches. So we got to the last six or seven lines, actually, of Samech Zayin and Beis, the last narrow line, the two dots. The Gemara says, "Ahuya Nuka Dishtabich Chamima." So a certain child had spilled over a bucket of hot water. They needed hot water that was prepared from beforehand. It was heated from Erev Shabbos, and they're just preserving the heat, the temperature on Shabbos. He spilled it, and they needed it for a child to take care of him after the Bris Milah. So what's the eitzah if you have no hot water left? So Amar Lehu Rabba. Rabba says, "Naisile chamime migo beisai." So go bring some hot water from my house. I've got it in my house. Go bring it over. So Amar Le Abai. Abai says, "V'hatlo arvinan." We'd have no. There's no Erev here, so you can't bring it from your house to where we are now. So the Gemara says, "Amar Le Nismoch Ashituf." You could rely on the Shituf Mavos that works. If you look at Rashi four lines up, Rashi says, "Nismoch Ashituf Dib Mavoi." If there's a shituf in the mavaos, then mutarn kan v'kan b'mavoi u'b'chaseros ava bishal irvu. So actually, the shituf mavaos is able to cover both the need for the carrying the mavoi and also the chatzer. Even though there may not have been an eruv for the chatzer, the shituf mavaos covers both them. So rely on the shituf mavaos, even though there is no eruv in the chatzer. So the Gemara says, "Amar lei ha lo shatvinan." We didn't make a shituf mavaos either. There's no eruv. There's no shituf. So then the Gemara says, "Okay, the next eitzah is neimer lei lenachui leisile." So ask a guy, a milakum, and ask the guy to bring over the water, get hot water from your house. So Amar Abai says, "Abai lasfui lamar." He wanted to challenge this Eitza. He didn't think this was correct. V'lo shavki Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't let him question it. He said, "Stay quiet. This is the psak we have, and we'll talk about your question later." Why? Why do you say that? Shouldn't you, if the psak was incorrect, shouldn't you be concerned that maybe you're doing the wrong thing? So Rav Yosef says, "Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kana, ki avina in Bei Rav Yehuda." When I was in the house of Rav Yehuda, have Amar Lam, they would tell us, "Bederaisa, if there's a din deraisa, an issa deraisa, mosvinan tiyufta, v'hadar avdinan maisa." When it comes to a din deraisa, so you have to ask the question, and then you could perform the maisa. You don't can't just perform a maisa without challenging it. It's a serious thing, an issa deraisa. When it comes to a din bidirabanan, such as here, carrying the Amir La'akam, which is a din deraisa, avdinan maisa, v'hadar mosvinan tiyufta. First do the action, and then question it. So if you're stuck in a situation, you're stuck in a pickle, okay, if the concern is only Issa Midrabanan, go ahead, do the Issa Midrabanan, not a big deal. Then afterwards, you could challenge it, which itself is a fascinating point. There's a well-known Nesivus. The Nesivus writes that when it comes to a person violating Issa Midrabanan, he says one does not get punished for violating it b'shogig. He says no punishment at all for shogig. And he says as if he didn't do any isser by a shogeg on an isser midrabanan. And his proof is from this particular gemara, because if there is a need for kapara on isser midrabanan, how in the world could Rav Yosef suggest, "Oh, go do the isser," and afterwards we'll figure out what the challenge was? So clearly there is no kapara needed for a violation of an isser midrabanan done by shogeg. Now others do argue, but that is the shita of the Nesivus. Now the gemara says, okay, so they let him go ahead, they ask the guard to bring the hot water. So now Gemara gets back to the story now. The Basar Hachi, after they brought the hot water over, Amar Li, my bais lo svi lamar. What was the challenge? Why do you think it was a problem to ask the goy to go ahead and schlep the hot water? So Amar Li, because there's a price, the Tanya, hazah shvus, v'amir lanachri shvus, hazah. Well, it comes to a person who's tamei meis, so he sprinkled paraduma waters on the person, and the din is that you sprinkle on day 3 and day 7 of his tara process. But that to do this on Shabbos, to do sprinkling a paraduma on a person on Shabbos, that's an iser shvus, an iser midrabanan. And Amir Lakam, telling a goy to do a melacha, is also a shvus, and also an iser midrabanan. So they're in the same category of both being a shvus. And the Gemara says on daf samaches now, our daf today, mahazah shvus, veino doches a Shabbos, just like hazah is a shvus, it's an iser midrabanan, even if it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, so the guy is able to eat a karm pesach, for example, Rashi says, even though it's for a purpose of a mitzvah, ein odocha Shabbos, you cannot do the shvus of hazah on Shabbos. So to af amir lenachri is a shvus, vein odocha is a Shabbos. You should not allow for amir la'akam to take place on Shabbos at all, even for davar mitzvah, like heating up the water or getting the hot water for a child, for a bris milah. So the Gemara says, no, amr lei, v'lo shani lecha bein shvus diis bein maisa, the shvus the less be maisa, the ha amar lo amar lenachi zel achim. Do you not distinguish between a mila akum on a mlacha that has a maisa versus a mila akum on a mlacha that doesn't have a maisa? So it's unclear what the maisa here is. So there's a discussion in the Rishon what maisa, not maisa, we're talking about here. The Rif understands a maisa is a deraisa. No maisa means a dirabanan. In other words, if I tell a goy to do a mlacha deraisa, even for the purpose of a mitzvah, that's aser. I can't tell a goy to light a fire. I can't tell a goy to cook a water. That's a bishul deraisa. That's aser. That's what it means, is beimaisa. If I tell a goy to do an iser midirabanan, like carrying the hot water in a iser karmless, which is only dirabanan, that's what the Gemara means, les beimaisa. It's no maisa when it's an iser midirabanan. So when there's an iser deraisa, you can't tell the goy to do it to heat the water up. But to schlep it in an iser karmless, that's a dirabanan. That's what the Gemara actually would allow one to do. That's the difference. That's how the Rif understands things. That's more how we paskin. But there is another opinion of the Ritva. The Ritva says, you know what it means, les beimaisa versus is beimaisa? Is beimaisa is when you're doing an act to the actual chefta, and les beimaisa is when you're not doing an act to the actual chefta. What that means is, if you were to say to the goy to warm up the water, that's the tikkun on the water itself, that's called is beimaisa. If you're telling him to carry, to schlep it, you're not doing a maisa to the actual water, you're just schlepping it over, that would actually be less beimaisa, that would be allowed. But we assume, like the Rif, that when it comes to an isa deraisa, you cannot tell a goy to do an isa deraisa, even in the tzarech mitzvah. There are some exceptions, extreme cases. When it comes to an isa derbanan, it's called shvus. The shvus b'makom mitzvah, that much we would allow. Now the Ramban actually on this Gemara, he argues and says, the only time actually you're allowed to do shvus, the shvus b'makom mitzvah, for mitzvah milah. You can't do this for other mitzvahs. For mitzvah milah, which itself, we know the milah itself is docha Shabbos, so anything that's needed for the milah, you could tell a goy to do if it's an isser midirabanan. But for another tzarech mitzvah, the Ramban would not allow for it. We assume, like the Rif and others, that any mitzvah, you could tell a goy to do an isser midirabanan for the purpose of some mitzvah. Okay, the Gemara now says, we are five lines down in Samaches. Amalei Rabba bar Rav Chanan l'abaye. Mavoa de'ispe trei gavra ravrive, kirabanan l'levi be lo eriv l'shitif. So Rabba bar Rav Chanan didn't understand. You have an alleyway, a mavoy, a neighborhood, with two great gadolim who live there, and they don't have an eruv, they don't have a shituf. How do you have that? How's that possible? How can you let the people in your area live in a way where it's very likely they'll stumble and carry on Shabbos without an eruv, without a shituf mavos? And from here, the Ritva actually learned there's a responsibility, there's a mitzvah for a rav, and the Chassam Sofer elaborates in very strong language that there's an obligation of a rav to make sure that his neighborhood, his city, has an eruv, lest people violate it. So this is a very, very important discussion. Now, even though sometimes there's a rush, even though sometimes the eruv might not be the highest level of excellence of an eruv, because you have to rely on kulas, and maybe the rabbi himself might not even rely on the eruv, but there's an obligation of a rabbi to do the best of his ability, to build the best eruv he could possibly build to help his community out based on this Gemara. So how could you have a city without an eruv, without a shittuf, with these two great rabbis here? So Amarlei, so their response was to justify why they didn't build an eruv. Amarlei Mar Navid, should Rabba build this? Navid, it's beneath his kavod to do so. Lav Orche, it's beneath his kavod to put together an eruv to start collecting food. So he shouldn't be doing the eruv. And the Anna, and not me, who was responding to this, Abai himself said, Anna, Trina Begir, sorry, I'm busy learning. I've got no time. I'm busy learning. I don't have enough time to build an eruv. And Inu, the rest of the people living in the area, the Bnei Ha'ir, the Inu, lo mishkache, they don't know how to do an Eruv properly. So it just, we don't have anyone. Both rabbis are too busy, and the people don't know what they're doing, so that's why we didn't have one. Now, v'i akni le pisa, maybe I could do it very simple. I akni le pisa besala, if I just take my bread, Abai says, and say, I'm being mezaka on behalf of the entire neighborhood, and we'll have an Eruv here. We're not talking about even building the strings, not even the walls, just setting up the bread, the pas, that matzah. So if Abai says, if I set up my bread and just set it aside, that everyone is a shutvis in my bread, the problem with that is, ibai le minai, if anybody comes and asks for some of my matzah that I'm now using as the Eruv, v'lo efshir less for nehele, I can't give it to them because I've got no money. I really have no food here. And the matzah is all I have. And there's a din, as we'll see in a second, that if someone asks for the pas, and I can't give it to them, it's bitul shituf. It undoes the entire shituf. The only way for that pas to serve as a shutvis, a binder, it binds everyone together, is only if everyone has the right to take some of the food. But I can't afford to give food to anybody in the neighborhood, in the area. The Tani, the Braisa, says, Echad mibnei mavoi shebikesh yayin v'shemen. If someone from the area asks for wine or for oil, and they don't give it to him from that which is being used for the Erev, batel shita. That means it's all a game. It has to be where, in theory, if someone were to ask it, you have to give it to them. It has to be everyone's. But if I can't afford to give them the wine, the oil, the bread, it wouldn't work. So I don't have the ability to do this. So then the Gemara says, v'nikne le ma riviyasa dechala b'chavisa. If you're going to suggest, maybe, you know, they asked him, I don't know, you have a big barrels of oil. They used to have oils, buckets of oil, barrels of oil in their oats or some of their storage. So why don't you say, let a revise of the vinegar, let that be the The mavoi, let that sheet of mevalos, let that be the erev. That works. And apparently that's the best. Wine's the best, and vinegar is just, you know, wine that went bad, but it's still usable for dressing, whatever else they use vinegar for. So that would work. So why not say whatever, there's a revius of the vinegar that's in my big barrel, let that be used for the erev. So the Gemara says, Tanya, e mishatvin be'otzer. You can't use anything that's in the otzer, that's still in the chavis, that's still in the barrel, in the otzer, cannot be used for the shita mevalos. The reason is because ein brera. Ein brera means for you to have an erev, you have to actually take out a cup of the revius here and put it as the set aside. But if you say, there's some revius in my barrel, in my chavis, something, one of that revius is going to be the shita, if that doesn't work, because then you don't know which one. Ein brera, you have to decide which is the exact one. We don't hold up brera. Brera doesn't work unless you specify. But to say that somehow in that barrel, that's a ein brera, and therefore ein mishatvin that way. So then the Gemara says, "V'hatanya mishat datvin." But don't we have another price that says you can? You can actually say there's a revius of vinegar in my barrel, and some revius there will be used as the shittif. Now, even though I didn't actually scoop out, I didn't cup out a revius of the vinegar, we can say yesh brera whenever I find that revius, yesh brera, that was always the revius I had in mind. So it comes out that this machlokus, whether you can mishatvin, or a mishatvin, with a undefined revius of vinegar in the barrel, depends on whether you hold of yesh brera or ein brera. If you hold yesh brera, that even though I haven't defined which revius, but I know it's somewhere there, that's sufficient, because I can figure it out after the fact which is the revius. Or ein brera, you can't figure out after that. You either have to decide now, but afterwards you can't. So this machlokus is a machlokus lo kasha, ha beis hillel ha beis shammai. So where do you find Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing about this idea of brera? The Tzana Misha tells us, Hameis Bebayin, so let's say a person dies in a house. V'lo psachim harben, the many, many windows, the doorways to leave the house. Kulam tamem, all the doorways, all the windows are tamem, because in theory, the body, the mace, could be taken out of any exit. So since it could leave anyway, all the entrance ways in the adjacent rooms, it seemingly are going to be tamem. Niftach echmeam, let's say you open one door, you open one window, so now it's clear that you're going to take the mace out that particular doorway, to hu tamei v'kulun tahorim. That particular entranceway, that particular Pesach is what's tamei, but all the other entranceways are tahor, because by you opening the door it indicates that you are leaving, they're taking the mace out of that entranceway. So Gemara says, chishiv l'hotzi b'echamem, let's say you don't actually open up a Pesach, but you have in mind, you think about opening up a particular Pesach, either a doorway or a window, sheyesh bar ba al arba, the windows are big enough, it's 4x4 to fit the mace through, matzil ekol psachim kulam, you're able to save all of them, not only by opening up, by even thinking about which door to open, which door to use, that'd be another way of saving the other entranceways. And Beis Shammai has a very important caveat, omim the vahusha chishev ad shlo yomus hameis. It's only true if you thought about it before the actual person died, meaning a Reuven is about to die, so a person says, okay, the plan is to take him out of entrance number one. So then the Reuven dies, so then it's able to be saving all the other Pesachim. If you didn't think about which Pesach, until after Reuven died, Beis Shammai says it doesn't work. But why? Because ein brera. You can't say because I decided now, retroactively, that was always what I had in mind. No, ein brera according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel omrim af mishiyomus hameis. Even after Reuven dies, if one says, I want to take him out of entrance number one, retroactively, that was always a Pesach he was intended to be taken out of, and there is yesh brera. So this machlokas of yesh brera, ein brera, legabe the mace, is the same exact machlokas where the mishatvin works on this revius that's somewhere in that chavis, whether it works or whether it does not work. Gemara now brings another maisa of ahu yanuka dishapuch chamima. Another child had spilled over a big bucket of hot water. For a child who's about to get a bris milah. And Amar Lu Rava, Rava says, Nishayla le'ema, go ask the mother who just had given birth, 8 days earlier, Itzricha nachem le'nachri, agav ema. If the mother needs the hot water, so then she's allowed to have a goy, she's still a state of a chola. So since she's a state of a chola, you could ask a goy to heat up the water for her, and then anything left over you could use for the child. So Amar Le, Rav Meshar Shila Rava, ema ka'achli tamra. But we see that the mother is eating dates. So why would a mother who you let this, why would she need hot water? Because the hot water, he heals her. Cold, and she lost like a huge body mass, a child and everything that comes out from the Leda. So now she's very chilly. So you need to warm her up with hot water. But the moment she starts eating cold food, that indicates she doesn't need the warmth anymore. So Haraya, she's eating dates. Dates are not hot. So she doesn't need hot water anymore. So if she's eating cold dates, certainly she doesn't need the hot water. So Gemara says, no. Amar le'emar tunva ba'alma hu dinakule. Maybe she just lost her mind still. Maybe she really needs, medically, she really needs hot water, but she doesn't know any better. She's still, it's a big days, we know the postpartum, so she's eating cold days, but she doesn't know what's best for her. But maybe if you ask her for hot water, she thinks she needs hot water, she needs to be warmed up. So if she says in the affirmative that she needs hot water, so you could heat up the water for her, and then by extension, you could give it to the goy. So good work. Yeah, after the fact, you're allowed to, but we're trying to prepare before him. I mean, if right now the child who hasn't had the bris milah, yeah, it's a good question. Right now, he's not a chola. So if there's no hot water available, we can't heat it up now in anticipation of him becoming a chola. And you can't give the bris milah unless you have the hot water ready, otherwise it's dangerous. So you can't, right now in the current state, he's not a chola, and he doesn't need it until you create a situation whereby he does need it. But it's a good question. So then the Gemara says, last few lines of the Amud here, Hahu Yanuka Dishtapa Chamima, a certain child had spilled over the hot water. And Amar Lahu, Rava says to him, Panuli Mana, this gets a little confusing now, Panile Mana mi be gavra lebe nashe. So the way the house of at least the Rava was, it could be other houses were like this too, they had a section of the house that was adjacent to the chatzar, which was the men's section, and then there's an inner part, which is the women's section. The women were always more tanur, they were in the back of the house, and the men were in the front of the house. So now the problem was, so they needed to get some hot water over from Rava's house. So what Rava did was he moved all his property that was in the men's section of the house, which was adjacent to the chatzar, and moved it over to the women's section to the back of the house. Why did he do this? V'ezel, the Gemara says, V'ezel v'hasam, I'll sit over there. V'batel hu ha'u chatzar, and now I'm going to be v'batel my chatzar. So now the person who's in the other part of the chatzar, he has the entire chatzar for himself, and he could stop water, because apparently there was water that in the chatzar of Rava. Rava had in his, imagine the two chatzeros. Rava was one side of the chatzar, and there's another chatzar who needed the hot water. So in Rava's chatzar, he had hot water. So he wanted to put the two chatzeros together. So Rava moved his property from inside his house to the most inner part. So now in the first room of his house was empty, and then there's a chatzar, Rava's chatzar with the hot water, and then another chatzar. So once Rava moved his kelim away, he's mevatel his own chatzar to the other guy across the way. And now the other guy owned the entire chatzar. He could bring the hot water from Rava's chatzar to his chatzar. That was the suggestion. Now, why did Rava move the kelim from his house, though? We're only talking about the chatzeros. So Rashi points out, Rava was concerned now that Rava relinquished his rights from his house. He cannot use the chatzar anymore. It's no longer his. It's the guy across the street. So he can't bring it out from his house to his chatzar. It's not his chatzar, the Shabbos. He wanted to make sure he didn't accidentally bring his kelim to the chatzar. So he moved those kelim as a gedder to the inner part of the house, and now he made sure to stay there lest he come to schlep things outside into his chatzar, and then he was mevatel rishus to the neighbor across the way, and it was all the neighbors of property, he was able to bring the hot water from Rava's property. So Gemara says, the problem with this, Amar le Ravina, the Rava, v'ha'amar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel hold it? Ein bitter rishus mechatzar lechatzar? Didn't we say above the other day that you cannot be mevatel a chatzar to a chatzar? Amrlei, Anna, Rabbi Yochanan, Sirli. I hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds you can be mevatel rishus mechatz lechatzar. Damer yesh bitter rishus mechatz lechatzar. Gemara says, wait a second. Okay, so that's acceptable. We say the bitter rishus applies mechatz lechatzar. The lo savrele mar shmuel. Now, if Mar doesn't hold with Shmuel, so then nesev mar biduchte v'nevatel lehu ledidhu v'nehadar inu v'nevatle lemar. So let me explain what's going on. I'll read one more line. So there's another machlokes, which we haven't seen just yet, where the person can be mevatel and then undo the bittel. In other words, could Rava first mevatel his chatzar, so now his neighbor has everything, and then later on during Shabbos, can his neighbor undo the bittel and give the chatzar back to Rava? So if that would be a possibility, if you hold mevatlin, chosen, mevatlin, if that were to work, so why don't we say, Rava, leave your property in your most outer house, room of the house, b'mevatel it just for a few moments so your neighbor could bring the hot water over, and then undo the bittel and gain access to your chatzar anymore, and there's no need for you to move all your kelim from the men's section of your house to the women's section of your house. The fact that you didn't allow this must be you hold like Shmuel, ana b'ha kishmuel, so really I hold like Shmuel, a guy with this machlokas, that me'im mevatlin, chosen mevatlin, that Shmuel says you cannot be chosen mevatel, meaning once you mevatel once on Shabbos, you can't do it a second time. So he holds like Rav on one hand, and you have Rav on one hand, and Shmuel on the other hand. In other words, by Rav he holds, or rather, I shouldn't say Rav, but against Shmuel in one case, and he holds like Shmuel in another case. He holds against Shmuel in one case that you can be mevatel rishus mechatz lechatzar. That's against Shmuel, but he holds like Shmuel that you cannot be mevatlin mechosen mevatlin. So the two different machlokism, and he's able to pass like Shmuel in one case and against Shmuel in another case. The problem, Gemara says, is these two machlokism, even though they sound different, really they have the same underlying reason. V'lav cha taimahu, is it not all the same reason? I mean, the reason why Shmuel holds ein chozen v'alim v'chozen is the same exact reason why he holds ein mevatel reshus mechatz lechatzer. My taimahu, what's the reasoning? My time aim nevalin the chosen mevalin la mishum, is it not because the chaven the bala lirshusay, once the guy's mevatis reshus to the other guy istalikle mehacha legamri, now you are completely removed from this property and now it's viewed as you have a separate chatzer. Now once you relinquish your right and you're viewed as a separate chatzer, then we invoke Shmuel holds the ein bittel reshus mechatz the chatzer. Once you're now in a halachically different chatzer, we apply ein bittel reshus mechatz the chatzer. That's what Shmuel holds. So if you're going to hold that yesh bittel reshus mechatz the chatzer, you should also be able to hold chozen mevatlin chozen. But if you hold ein chozen mevatlin mevatlin, that means you will hold also ein bittel reshus mechatz the chatzer. How could you split between these two different psakim? So the Gemara says, no, really. Really, Gemara says, "Mar nami." So, 1 second here. Vein bittel reshus mechatz lechatzer. Mar nami lo nivatel. So, also you shouldn't allow for bittel. Gemara says, "No." Hasam haynu taima. The reason why, really, the din is we hold that yesh bittel reshus mechatz lechatzer. But how come then we don't say chozen mevatlin? Because kihechi haynu taima kihechi delo lehave milsa d'rabban kechuke v'tula. The only reason why we don't allow for chozen mevatlin chozen is for technical reasons. Really. Fundamentally, we would allow a person to mivat his reshus in the beginning of Shabbos, and then he could get his reshus, his chatzer back. But it looks like it's a whole game. It's like all the din of a halachas are all a joke, that first it's his property, then it's my property, and it looks funny in the eyes of people. And sometimes we have to kind of pull the brakes and prevent people from thinking halacha is a one big joke, and for that reason we held back. Fundamentally, really, we should say mevalin, chos mevalin, but again, because of milchsa, the rabban kuchucha of Tluya, we said, once you do bitta once, don't do it a second time. So Gemara now says, after being introduced, this machlokas of mevalin, chos mevalin, the Gemara says, gufa rav amar, mevalin, chos mevalin, v'shmu amar ein, mevalin, chos mevalin. Once you do bitta once, can you do it a second time, or can you not? So that machlokas, the Gemara says, lema rav, Ushmuel bepluksa the Rabbanan Rebbe Eliezer. Let's say Rav and Shmuel, Rav who says you can be chozen mevatlin, and Shmuel says you cannot be. Let's say that is taloi. That depends on the machlokes between Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer. What's their machlokes? So their machlokes, if you take, we'll just read a little bit one more line here. Then we'll look at Rashi. That come ifligi. The Rav damar kirabbanan Ushmuel amar kirebbe Eliezer. So who are the Rabbanan? Who is Rebbe Eliezer? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says Rav damar kirabbanan. D'amri b'masis, and they hold in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in tomorrow's daf, beso aser lahachnis lohotzi lo lehem. D'amri ha-mevatel reshus chatero lo bito reshus beso. When a guy is mevatel his chatzer, it's not mevatel his bais, his house is still his, and since his house is still his, so the chatzer isn't his, because he gave it to his friend, but the house is his. So since there are two different properties now in his own house, and the chatzer in front of his house, he cannot bring from his house to the front yard. Alma, lo mistalik le legamre, when he relinquishes his rights, he doesn't relinquish his rights entirely, he only relinquishes his rights legabe the chatzer, but not regarding the house. Velo habe le kiben chatzer acheres, he's not considered a separate ben chatzer. He's still considered as somewhat connected to the property, and therefore Rav says, chozen mevatlin, because since he still has access to his house, so even though he doesn't have access to the chatzer, but his house is still his rights, and since it's his house, he can't bring to the chatzer because the chatzer is his neighbor. But since he's still at least shaykh to the property, you can undo the bittel. That's like Shitas Rav. But Shmuel holds like Rebbe Eliezer, says Rashi. Vam reperk osen pasin. Beso mutter lachnis lehotzi lehem meachas shebittel reshuso. The reshus beso nami bittel. When the guy relinquishes his rights to his neighbor, not only does he relinquish his rights of his chatzer, but he also relinquishes his rights of the house. He's mevatel his whole house to the guy as well. So now it seems that the guy's property is the entire chatzer and all the house together. I'm just a guy who's borrowing his house just for the Shabbos, so I am able to use my property and his property, take my kelim out of my house to the courtyard, because my house isn't my house anymore. When I'm mevatel my reshus, I'm mevatel my reshus of the chatzer and my house. It's all the guy. I'm just living the guy's house. That's what comes out. Once you say that, Now the guy owns the whole property. There's nothing to be chos mevalin. I have no shaychus. I have no ownership anymore to this courtyard. There's nothing to even talk about to undo the bittul. I'm completely nothing anymore. The neighbor has everything, so you can't even discuss chos mevalin. That is shitas Shmuel. So again, what it boils down to is whether or not when a guy's mevatel reshus of his chatzer, is he also mevatel reshus of the house? So the Gemara says that is not true. This is not necessarily congruent. The Gemara says, Amilacha Rav, Ana the Amrinan Afilu Rabbi Elazar. I hold, even though Rav holds that you can be Mevalin, Chosen Mevalin, I even hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer only said, Hasam, that Hamevata Rishus Chatero, Rishus Beso Bittel, Mishum Debais Belochatzer Lo Dari Inchi. When Rabbi Eliezer said that when a guy's Mevatel is Chatzer, he's also Mevatel is Bais, because Rabbi Eliezer holds to this concept, there's no such thing as a house without a Chatzer. The two of them go hand in hand. You can't separate between the two of them. So the moment you're Mevatel, you're Chatzer, your house goes along with it. It's all one unit. It's one entity. And therefore, since it's one entity, when I give the Chatzer to Reuven, he gets my house too. And now this whole area is Reuven, so I'm just living in Reuven's house, if you will, even though it's my house, but now it's his house, so I can move the Kalim from my house to the Chatzer. The Chatzer and Bais go hand in hand. However, Baal Inan is Saluke, me Amar. But when it comes to relinquishing my right, entirely, I never was Masalik. I was never relinquishing my rights entirely. I just gave him Rishus, the ability to use my chatzer in my house. But I never gave up my right. I still have the title of my house. And therefore, Rav says, even though Rabbi Elazar says what he says, it's not a stira to that what I say, that you could still be Chosim of Adlin, because I still have the title, although I may not have the rights this Shabbos. And the flip side, the Gemara says that Ushmuel, Amar Ana, the Aminan Afilo Krabban, I, who hold of Ein Chos Mevalim, I can even work within the Shita of Rabbanim. That Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbanim Hasam Elamai De Bato Bato, Udla Bato Lo Bato, Rabban hold, when you Mevata the Chatzar, you only Mevata the Chatzar, you're not Mevata the Bais. Why? Because we say, whatever you're Mevata is Mevata, and whatever you're not Bato is not Bato. I was only Mevata my Chatzar, I was not Mevata my house. So you could separate and divorce between the two. Aval, when it comes to my debatel, mia esalik legamin. But whatever you are batel, you're not just batel just in terms of usage. You're masalik, you relinquish your rights entirely. So when you relinquish your rights of your chatzer, it's not only you relinquish the ability to use it, you relinquish even the title of the chatzer. It's an entire set, it's a complete separation, and therefore my neighbor owns all my chatzeros, and you can't even discuss anymore chos mevalim, because I no longer have any shaychus to my chatzer. When mevatel my chatzer, it's mevatel legamer. That's how the Gemara understands. So Rav and Shmuel does not necessarily align with the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and their bottom. The Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here that Amrer Rav Acha Bar Chana Amrer Rav Sheshes Ketanai. It's really a machlokas tonight. Misha Nasan Rishuso, a person who gives Rishus to his neighbor to use the property, and then after giving Rishus, the Hotzi Bain Bishogig Bain Bemezid Aser, Rabbi Meir. The way it works is, when I am giving my chatzer up to my neighbor, so he has the entire chatzer now, it's no longer mine, I'm not allowed to take Kalim out of my house into the property. It's no longer mine. Now if a guy does so, the din is, now I've retaken, reclaimed my property, and now it's Aser. There is no longer an heir between the chatzers, because by my showing of the usage of the chatzer shows that I'm undoing the bittul. That's the understanding of Rabbi Meir. Whether or not I took it out b'shogig or b'mezid, I can ask his ability by using it. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'mezid oser, b'shogig in oser. It's only true if I took it out b'mezid. If I took it out accidentally, so then that doesn't aser me. Aser the usage of the eruv. It doesn't undo the bittul rishus. So my lav, b'ha k'mifli, is a machlok, is not as follows. The Mar Saver Mevatlin Vechozer Mevatlin, that one holds that when I took out the property, you could undo the bittel, you could redo the bittel and reclaim your property back. That's why, according to Rabbi Meir, when you're Hotzi B'Shogeg, you could undo the bittel. And Mar Saver Behuda says, no, Ein Mevatlin Vechozer Mevatlin, you can't undo it. Once the bittel took place, you can't undo the bittel on that same Shabbos. And that's why when you take it out B'Shogeg, it doesn't work. You're not ostering the usage. The bittel, the first bittel, is still in effect. So Gemara says, no. Amr of Acha bar Tachlifa Mishrei de Rava, love, not true. The Chuli Alma ain Mevalin v'choz Mevalin. Everybody agrees, you actually cannot. Once a bittel took place once, you cannot undo that bittel on that very same Shabbos. And everybody also agrees, by the way, that if you did b'mezid, that actually does work. Because the way it worked was, Rashi fills in some of the points here, that it's a situation where I agreed to do a bittel, I agreed to vavat to my property, but before you actually took your kalim out and showed your ownership of the chatzer, the mavo I just gave you, I put my kelim out first before you. By me placing my kelim out before you, that actually undoes a bittul. So the way it normally works is I'm bevata my property, and then you have to put kelim in to show your ownership. But if I do bittul, and then before you have a chance to put your kelim out, I put my kelim out first, I actually undermine the bittul, and the bittul doesn't work, and you have to start from scratch again. So if I did it bemezid, if I took my kelim out bemezid before you took your kelim out, that undoes the bittul. That everybody agrees to. The question is whether b'shogeg I would have the ability to undo it or not. And the Gemara says that by shogeg, certainly ein chos mevalin. If I were to take kelim out accidentally, it would not undo the bittul. So how come, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? So machlokas is, again, chuli alma ein mevalin b'chos mevalin. By shogeg, by being hotzi b'shogeg, it cannot undo it. But the question is whether they penalize the case of shogeg, lest it lead to a case of mezid. Because mezid does undermine it, shogeg does not. So were they? Do they create a penalty for shogeg? Kamithilgi. Mar savar kansu shogeg atu mezid. Rabbi Meir felt that there were gozer, even the case of hotzi b'shogeg, and Rabbi Yehuda felt mar savar lo kansu shogeg atu mezid. So Rashi Amar Rav, and Shmuel, so Rav, so that's the discussion. Now the Gemara says, Rav Ashi comes along, Amar, he goes back to what we said above, he thinks Rav was Shmuel, but plugs to the Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan, Kamifugi. Going back to what we had suggested early in the Gemara, that Rav and Shmuel, Nachlokis of Mechozim, Mevalin, and Chozin, does in fact line up nicely with what we said earlier between Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar, whether or not when a person Masalik his chatzar, is Yosef Masalik his house, he does think that is actually a very nice alignment. Let's finish off with the last piece now. We had a quotation from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Amar Gamliel Ma'isa Betzuki Echad Shadar Imanom. He spoke about a certain Ma'isa Shahaya, Betzuki who lived in his neighborhood. So Gemara asks the question: Tzuki Man Dachashmei. Whoever spoke about Tzuki, where did that come from? We didn't mention Tzuki any halachas, but Tzuki in the Mishnah. So how come he's telling a story about Tzuki in the Mishnah? What is the status of Tzuki? Tzuki, a guy who doesn't accept Torah Baal Peh, is he a Nachri? Is he not a Nachri? What exactly is his status? First, tell me the halacha of a Tzuki, his status, and then tell me a Ma'isa Shahaya. So Gemara says, Chasur Mechser, there was in fact something missing in the Mishnah. V'achi katani, really what the Mishnah intended on saying was, Tzuki harehu kenachri. A Tzuki has the status of a Nachri, which means that first you have to do Schiris Akum from a Tzuki. You need to rent some of his space from the Nachri. That's according to the Tanakam of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Tzuki eino kenachri, he felt that a Tzuki does not have a din of a Nachri, in which case he's just a Yid, and you don't have to do Schiris Makum. All you really have to do is a Bittel, according to Rabbi Gamliel. And there was actually once a Maisa Shahaya. There was a Tztuki Shahaya Dar Imanu B'mavoi B'Yushalayim, living in our neighborhood in Yushalayim. Vamer Lanu, he said to us, Abba, my father said, Maru Votzius Akelim, the Mavoi Achelo Yotzi V'Yosar Aleichem. So after they allowed, they were able to create a situation of a bittel rishus of the Nachri. So the father of the Tztuki, rather. So Rabbi Gamliel's father said, quickly take out Kalim before he takes out Kalim first. Because if there's a bittel, Mavatel Rishus, and then the Tzuki takes out the Kalim first, that will undermine the whole bittul like we said above. But if you take out your Kalim before he does, so then you've established your ownership, your control of the property, and that would allow the bittul to remain in effect. And the Gemara says further, V'hatanya, V'hatanya here Rashi says, B'nichusa, sometimes V'hatanya is a kasha, in this case V'hatanya is B'nichusa, which is a raya, a proof reinforcing this idea. It says, V'hatanya, Hadar im nachri tzduki baitusi hare elu osim. Person lives with any of these individuals, it's osir. The fact that tzduki and baitusi, these two individuals are grouped together with a nachri, they hold like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, that a tzduki is like a nachri, you need to do schiris property from the tzduki. We'll read the parentheses even though we normally don't. Rabbi Gamliel omer tzduki baitusi ain't an osim. Rabbi Gamliel argued and says that they are not. They do not have a din of a nachri, they have a din of a yid, and you don't have to rent property, all you have to do is a bittel with them. So that machlokas in the Mishnah is the machlokas that appears here in the Brisa. And the Gemara says further, Ma'isa b'tzuki echad shayadar im Rabbi Gamliel b'mavu b'yushlaim. And there was once a story where the tzuki lived in the same neighborhood as Rabbi Gamliel. Amar lehem Rabbi Gamliel, Levanov, Rabbi Gamliel told his children, B'ni, my children, Maru votziu mashatem motzin, v'chnisu mashatem machnisin, ad shelo yotzi hatoiv hazeh v'yosar lechem. So go quickly, take out your kalim to the property before that toiv, that abominable person, that tzduki, where he takes out first and asks the usage, sherei bitter rishus lachem, divi rebi meir. Because he ready is mevatel rishus. So after you've established that he is mevatel rishus, so now we have to take out the kalim to express, to show our control, our ownership. That's Rebbe Meir, who felt that you can, you don't need schirat akum, all you have to do is bittel. That works well. But comes along now, the Gemara says, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Bolashin Acheres. He says it was differently. He said what was told to the children was, Maru v'asu terchechem imavai. Go out and do what you need to do now before Shabbos begins. Hachalot techshach v'yosar lechem. Because Rabbi Yehuda felt that actually Bitter Rishus does not work. It's not sufficient for tzeduk. You need to rent the property first, because they have a din of nachri, and then you can apply Bitter Rishus. But since this was a case where they were not able to get the deal of Schiris Akum from the tzeduki, therefore on Shabbos, when Shabbos comes, they were not be able to use the Mavoi. So he's telling the children, go out now and use the Mavoi before Shabbos begin, because the moment Shabbos does begin, you can no longer use it. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue together on Sunday. Have a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.